Hello and welcome to MD Access. My name is Ekaterina and today we are here at the 5-Star Conference and I'm joined by Jay Van Boning. Thank you so much for joining me today. You are a U.S. Army veteran who served in Iraq and Afghanistan. You have a big story to tell us. And I wanted to start with your background first. Can you start by sharing a little bit about your time in the military, where and when you served, and what inspired you to join?
Yeah, definitely. So I joined in 2006. One of the reasons, I didn't really have much going on where I was at. I was from a small town. Really was nothing for me to do there. It was me and my mom. We were together the whole time, and it was hard leaving her, but ultimately I thought that was going to, you know, the best thing for myself and my family ultimately. So joined in 2006. My first duty station, I was at Fort Carson, Colorado. From there, I had the 15-month tour to Iraq. Came back. I wanted to get a little bit closer to home, and home is Missouri for me, around St. Louis area. So I wanted to get a little bit closer, so I re-enlisted to go to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, which is, you know, 4 or 5 hours away, so it's not bad at all. So got there. From there, I was in the 101st Airborne Division. Had two different deployments to Afghanistan from there. And then I kept that up until 2014, and I got out in 2014.
Awesome. I got really excited when you said Missouri because that's where I'm from too. So this interview is getting very exciting for me. Looking back, what stands out the most from your tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, both in terms of challenges and lessons that you have learned?
Yeah, for the tours, the most important, the most, you know, what I take away from is the camaraderie, all the brothers and sisters that you develop there. And the main thing is you have to take care of each other just as much as you did there. You have to do that now. And the farther away from that you get, the more you realize that. A lot of us have different challenges we face and things like that. So, you know, that communication is definitely key. And I'm sorry, what was the other part of that
question? The lessons you have learned.
Yeah, so that was one. Communication, leadership. I was a leader over there. I was a non-commissioned officer, so had my guys. I'd make sure that they were squared away. Basically tried to do what I could for them to be there for them. That's pretty much it.
So you also have spoken about the impact of combat, including TBIs and survivor's guilt.
Mm-hmm.
How have those experiences shaped the way you view life today?
Yeah, life's precious, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's the main thing there. So today, like nowadays, it's like I'm a routine guy. I have to be in routines. Memory is not as what it was. So I stay in routine. I have certain things. My family's a big part of a support system for me. They make sure that I'm getting to where I need to go. They just look after me and make sure I'm on the right path. I have my dog. She keeps me going. Maggie.
We'll talk about your dog a little bit later. I'm excited about that topic. But returning to civilian life after such intense service is not easy. What were the biggest challenges you faced as you tried to adjust?
Yeah, the biggest challenges was just fitting in. I would say whenever I got out, I went back to school. I used the GI Bill. Went back to school. And the things I was facing on a day-to-day basis was totally different than anybody else there, than I knew of anyways. That's with things I dealt with after class, even during class, all my VA appointments and things like that I had to make. I pretty much lived at the VA. I was there all the time. But it was nice. I made a lot of friends there that worked there and that were actually being seen there. So I would go up there and just have lunch with them because that's where I fit in, you know, so. But yeah, day-to-day life, it was tough as an adjustment. You know, I was 100 miles an hour for so long and then trying to slow it down. It was tough.
Mm-hmm.
It was tough.
And you've talked about hitting rock bottom in 2019, mm-hmm. Before finding new paths forward. What role did the VA and your service dog, Maggie, played in your healing journey?
Yeah, my goodness. So one of the things I was telling you about is that checking earlier, checking in on your battle buddies and things like that. In 2019, we had a lot of our guys experiencing the same thing as me, but committed suicide. So there was multiples of them, and they were in my close circle. So it's like, should I have called again? The things I try to keep up as much as I could. Just watching out for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Maggie, there. Mm-hmm. So I was at rock, but I was hurting. I was hurting bad. I met this organization called through the Combat Vet Center that I would go to weekly. Do therapy sessions, counseling with these other combat vets, Canines on the Front Line, which is a service dog program in Missouri. They linked me up with Maggie, and from that day forward, it was me and her, and she got me back on track. So,
what is it about Maggie that helped you with your PTSD?
Yeah, so everything. Whenever I would, a lot of time at the time, it was me. I was bouncing back and forth. Like I said, I was in school, trying to find places to stay. Whenever I'd go home, I would just kind of lose it. I didn't have anybody. I had the VA, but they closed the door, so I can't always stay in there, right? So I'd get home, and sometimes I would hear news. I was just I'd fall into a dark, really dark spot. And after I got her, she was always there. So she would help me out. And if I was having, I would have bad panic attacks. I would have anxiety, this and that. Thinking about all this past trauma and things like that. Well, anyway, she would cue into that. So she would key, there'd be certain keys for her, and she would see. And she will come and comfort mm-hmm. me during those times, kept my medication on her and things like that. I just knew she was there for me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
That was nice.
And you're getting her a brother soon.
Yep. Yep. getting her a brother. I feel she's due. She needs somebody to hang out with,
yes.
Other than me. She,
yes.
So I need to make friends. Well, so does she. So. Yeah, we get that going for her. So.
So let's talk about Military Warrior Support Foundation now. Can you tell us about receiving your home through them and what that moment meant for you?
Yeah, 100%. Military Warrior Support Foundation, complete game changer for me. What they did, like I said, I was bouncing back and forth in and out of the VA system. My service dog, which she's a 100-pound German Shepherd, right? So. Being in small apartments and things like that, that was a stress on its own. And then Military War Support Foundation showed up, kind of took me in, provided me with a home, and gave me that safe space. I made it my own. It was everything that kind of kept me calm. It was in an area that I was familiar with, things like that in the St. Louis area. Once that happened, just things got easier for mm-hmm. me a little bit, it's nice. It's close to multiple VAs in the area. So I'm right there. It's close to everything, the airports I can get here. Like it's just, mm-hmm. yeah, it's not. And it takes a lot of the stress off. Another thing too, that was really nice with Military Warrior Support Foundation. Whenever they do that, they set you up in a mentoring program for finances. So that way, with the responsibility of a home, they make sure that you're squared away and mm-hmm. set up for to maintain, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, did that for the time, and become obviously debt free with that, and then just kind of learn the ins and outs of finances and how to maintain the home the first time, So,
mm-hmm.
A blessing for sure.
Yes, and you also have mentioned golf. As your new passion, how has that activity helped?
Yeah, so Ken, he's a Military Warrior Support Foundation. Ken flew me out to Colorado. It was a PGA Reach event. And then I didn't have a clue how to golf. Never did it before, right? So I was like, this is all new to me. Got out there, met some other veterans like myself that were in the same boat, met so many great people, and just kind of swung the sticks a little bit. Anyways, after that, they set me up with a fitting. So I got fitted. So I got my own club. So now I had the responsibility to learn, right? So, yeah, I just ran with it from there. And now I golf as much as possible, 2-3 times a week, mm-hmm. a lot of times. So, yeah, it gets me out and about. It gets me being outside is the best, right? So it's good for your head, good for everything. It's just a place where I can just, I'm comfortable out there. Mm-hmm. There's nobody around, really. It's not loud. It's just really nice. So, yeah.
So looking ahead, what keeps you motivated and gives you hope for the next chapter in your life?
Well, I feel like a lot of the difficult stuff I've navigated, it's not behind me. It's never always going to be behind me. It's always right there, like a thorn in your side. But I've come up the skills. I've gained skills. I've gained knowledge how to handle different situations. My support channel is locked in. They've got me. My family, my daughter, she understands. You know, my needs are a little bit different than everybody else's. And we're all just there for each other. Military War Support Foundation is always there for me as well. They continue to be there for me. That's...
So earlier you have mentioned that you have lost some friends due to some circumstance. And what kind of advice would you give to other people who are going through PTSD and the same journey that you have went through right now?
Yeah, it's real, definitely. Just check in. Just check in all the time. Even if you are checking in, just keep checking in. We were all in the same boat. We were all, you know, there's a handful, you know, the ones of us that got out and made it back. You know, that's tough. It's tough. Everybody's, you know, what happens whenever you get back? I mean, some people take the wrong path, but some people, you know, it's not even the wrong path. It's just a path that they decide to take because that's all they really know how to do to handle and things like that. You just got to be there for them. Just got to be there for them. Even if you are, just pour more into them. And just keep that brotherhood alive.
So. Mm-hmm. And how has being a father helped you heal and build a better, stable future?
Yeah, so anytime I have anything where I'm having, like, negative thoughts and things like that, that's what I think about. I think about my daughter, raising her. She's she was born in Fort Campbell, Kentucky, after my second deployment, and she is now a freshman and just starting high school, so... Time flies, but
wow.
We're still kicking. We're still making sure she's being taken care of and just doing what I can for her.
How did she react when she found out that you guys are going to have a house?
Yeah, she was excited because she was right there, you know. Just from her, like, small areas and then me just not, like, a lot of times I wasn't able to be there because, I was at the VAs and things like that. But, yeah, she enjoyed it. She's got her own space. We have a nice yard for Maggie and things like that. Anything I could, you know, I can never dream of. So.
Mm-hmm. And before we wrap this up, if you could share one message with the broader community about supporting veterans, what would it be?
Maybe listen. Talk to them. Listen a little bit. Find out their stories. Sometimes they just need somebody to listen to, you know, so just listen to them. Talk to them. If you can, try to help them out. Give back if you can. You know, I know the sacrifices they've made for everybody. You know, just try to be there for each other. That's it. So.
Absolutely. Jay, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. We're truly honored to highlight you here on our podcast.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much
for having
me.
Thank you.
Yep.